Today is Wednesday, July 8th. The time is 3:34 p.m. This is the time and place of the Public Art and Community Design Committee. I ask Sadie to establish quorum with a roll call.
Adia Jamil, Adrian Ackerman,
Present.
Alicia Vasquez, Ann Lopez,
Here.
Audrey Weiner,
here.
Brandon Varela, Jacqueline Jean Barrios,
here.
Dusty Reyes,
present.
Leanne Hernandez,
here.
Lily Tate,
here.
Jim Glock, Janet Fisher, Lizzie Golden,
present.
Logan Green,
present.
Maureen Lewick,
here.
Nancy Fung, Valerie Sipp,
present.
Wesley Cree,
present.
Thank you. And we do have quorum with 12 members present.
So it would probably be helpful if I look back at the agenda. Okay, our first item on the agenda is introducing guests and attendees. Do we have, I see, well, we have at least Kelly with us, but I feel like Kelly is, hi, Kelly, you're becoming one of us. So I feel happy to have you introduce yourself again today if you would like. But I don't think we have anyone new on the call since the last time you did.
I'm again, Kelly Way, City of Tucson Cultural Affairs Officer. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Sadie, do we have anybody else?
No, we do not.
Okay, great. I just didn't know with all the kind of approvals we're doing today, if anyone was here. Okay. Great. Well, then we'll move to call to the audience. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call of the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. And I am seeing Felix, hello, and I'm not sure if we have anybody else signed up for the call to the audience, Sadie?
Just Mr. Lawrence today.
Okay. Hi, Felix. Feel free to take the floor.
Thank you. Yes, I'm the one and only member of the public that comes and addresses this committee. Month after month and year after year, I'm the one citizen that comes to speak to this committee who's not attached to any particular project. And I'm very pleased this afternoon because this committee has formed a subcommittee to look into the public art plan. And I think it's very well populated. That subcommittee has some kick-ass people on it. And I think that subcommittee is going to kick ass, is going to do some good things. Now, at our last meeting, there a question came up about the artist roster. Originally, this committee voted to restrict the artist roster to Southern Arizona, that is not Phoenix or anything north of it. And recently, the Arts Foundation decided to expand that criteria to include the whole state of Arizona. And the question came up as to how that decision was made, since this committee had already voted to restrict it. And nobody actually said the answer, but the answer is that the Arts Foundation does not respect this committee. It does not respect the authority and jurisdiction of this committee, and it can do whatever it wants with or without this committee. And that's what it did. It expanded the criteria. So now you have the answer. I know there's a lot of liberals on this committee. I'm a liberal, progressive, and we spend a lot of time being nice and hedging around things, beating around the bush, as it were. And the fact is that Arts Foundation, like the city of Tucson, does not respect the authority and jurisdiction of this committee that has been granted to it by the city of Tucson. And And they don't have to. You might ask why they don't respect you. Well, they don't have to. They're not afraid of you because this committee has never actually exercised its power. This committee could hypothetically say, hey, you stole our power and exercised it yourself. Now we're going to penalize you for doing that. We're going to stop rubber stamping everything like we usually do and wait until you apologize for having stole our authority and promise in writing to respect our authority in the future. This is something that could be done by this committee, but it will never be done because you all have been chosen specifically because you would never do that sort of thing. Now, moving on to the board of directors for the Arts Foundation. Who are these people? Well, they are mentioned. Do they ever meet? Unknown. What were the agendas or meeting times? What was the meeting minutes? This is all secret because the state of Arizona has determined that the Arts Foundation is a private organization, not subject to public meeting law, not subject to freedom of information laws. So the board of directors may or may not meet. And if you read Directive 7, it has the power to veto or modify or overturn this committee's decisions. So do they ever meet and do they ever do what Directive 7 empowers them to do? Unknown. So I sent these questions, as the Arts Foundation's website says, send questions about the board of directors to Gallego. Of course, I sent them these questions to Gallego.
Mr. Lawrence, your time is
Zero
up.
acknowledgement that she had received any questions. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Felix. Did anybody else join in that time, Sadie?
No.
Okay, great. All right, then we'll move on to our next agenda item, number 4, committee member activity reports. So just again, this is your opportunity as a member on this committee to talk about anything that you think is noteworthy, you'd like to share, maybe work you're doing out in the community, an event coming up, or an opportunity for folks to get involved. So I'll open the floor and see if there's any announcements that people would like to share. Logan.
Cool. I'll just kind of remind folks, August 28th, 29th, and 30th is our Camp Groundworks event. This is also a big fundraiser for us, and I did send out some of the sponsorship info, some of the other info about the event, but we'll be announcing a whole new group of bands, group of artists as the event gets closer between now and August 28th. So if you're interested in supporting any sort of youth-driven arts stuff, check out Camp Groundworks.
Logan, what is the cutoff date for sponsorship if folks are?
Super. So this weekend for the next round of promotion, but then there'll be another round of promotion in August. So if somebody has something they want to kind of contribute between now and Saturday, let me know ASAP, and then so I can get it to the artist for the next flyer and all that stuff. But otherwise, it'll be August 1st for the final round of promotion.
Awesome. And would you be willing to send the materials out to Sadie again so that she can share that with us before the end of the week, please?
Absolutely.
Great. Is that okay, Sadie? Awesome. Thank you. Cannot say enough about Groundworks and what they provide to youth, but also fans of music and culture of all ages in our city. So, please keep an eye out for those materials. And if you can't sponsor, maybe think if there's anybody in your performance art network that can. Anybody? Everyone here is engaged in such wonderful things. And I know it's the summer, but I'm like, there's no event, other events coming up? Anything you'd like to share? Or just even like, hey, this happened in my world that pertains to PACD? Great.
Okay, well, I'm a colored pencil artist, and the end of the month, from July 29th until August 2nd, there is a National Colored Pencil Society of America convention and exhibit in Prescott. So if you're up in Prescott, look for it.
Thank you for that reminder. And are you going to have anything featured there? Or are you just excited about the
I'm just excited about going. I'm one of the membership people, so.
Yay, that's great. Well, thank you for letting us know. Who wouldn't want to get to Prescott in August?
Yeah, right.
Okay, anybody else? No? Okay. I'm going to echo Jim. I'm like, I can't remember the last meeting Jim wasn't here for, but I'll say hearing none, moving right along. To number five. Okay, this is the update on the education subcommittee, and I moved it up. We moved it up, sorry, because I wanted to make sure that we had the time allotted, the full 15 minutes, because sometimes we get to the end of the meeting and it's running close to five and we don't have that time. We had a really awesome subcommittee meeting, and there were only three of the six of us that signed up present at that meeting. And because the Arts Foundation staff is taking a well-deserved vacation at the end of July, last couple weeks of July, we won't be able to meet again as a subcommittee until August. And we really want that to be like a working subcommittee meeting so that we can come out of it with hopefully a completely fleshed out like set of proposals to include in the public art plan for this next year. As a reminder, or fresher for folks who were either not present at the last meeting or whatever, more important things have come up for you and this got pushed out. We are working as a committee to try and kind of define our scope and purpose with the understanding that there are conversations happening at the county level and the city level in terms of like, what is the relationship of the county to public, like this committee, public art working in conjunction with the city, the Arts Foundation, all these things are going on. And so it's like a perfect time for us to also reflect on like, what do we also want our capacity to be, our purview? There's some direction in the administrative directives, but some of them are like vague and open. And part of that is where it says that we kind of co-create and help administer the public art plan. And that public art plan has historically been relegated to the 1% for arts allocated in capital improvement projects. But there's nothing saying that it can't also include the hopes and dreams of PACD committee. So we're kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall, doing this great experiment together to see if we put recommendations in there, what happens to them? Where do they go? How might they be accomplished? We might ultimately find out this is not the place to put those, but at least by the end, we'll have a set of recommendations we can work with and maybe take to another, put energy into in another way. So with that in mind, we got together as the subcommittee and we came up with some proposals. And Sadie, thank you so much for sending those out. So you received your initial email with the supplemental materials for this meeting and then an additional email. That had the notes. And so I'm just curious, no shame if you didn't get a chance to it, but is there anybody here that didn't have a chance to look at those? So I know just kind of how in depth to review them here together real quick. No one will judge you if you did. Did everybody look at them? I find that hard to believe. Okay. Well, great. then I'm just going to go over them really quickly and kind of surface level. Please feel free to raise a hand, chime in, come off mute at any time if you have any questions. But basically, so in the administrative directives that outline our purview, one of the things that is very clear is that the PACD committee is supposed to help with kind of like a public education outreach campaign, if you will, to promote the public art plan. And so one of the things we discussed is that like in order to fulfill our mandate for that public education, there's a few things that we need education around and we need clarity around. One of them is our relationship to the public art plan and the public art process. So specifically, how can we be more involved in the development of the plan when it says that we co-develop it from the get-go and its implementation and what happens to our recommendations once we make them? So we're proposing that either all of us somehow, or one to two of us for like direct like member representation are included in the conversations currently taking place between the city, the county, and the Arts Foundation administrators and board of directors, so that we can help just represent, you know, what the work we're doing, what we're hoping for, and see how we can become more of that conversation, a part of that conversation. We also determined that we need to help the public, especially emerging artists who might otherwise self-select out of the public art process, understand what is public art, how does that process work, and how they can get involved. And so to that end, we're proposing that the city, not the Arts Foundation, because we don't want more work for the Arts Foundation, but the city with its resources, its communications department, et cetera, create a video or video series to be produced by the city and disseminated with our support that educates the public. So like a really simple, like, what is public art? What is the process? Here is a flow chart. Here are examples. How do you get involved? Like that sort of thing. And then we also determined that we share a commitment to the diversification of public art and artists in our region. And so we'd like to develop proposals around some of the following ideas. So verbiage that we can be included in the public art program, RFQs, RFPs, calls to artists, and in the instructions to selection committees that really help us, without restricting as much as possible, help us to encourage artists to think outside of the box when it comes to, like, we were honestly discussing the prevalence of, like, desert, stereotypical desert art, like put a saguaro on it and you're good. We want to encourage artists to like maybe think about how we can represent this region in increasingly like creative or diverse ways, and figure out like what's the type of verbiage that we could include that's not like restricting folks too much or poo-pooing that, I guess. And then also we were talking about creating some sort of system of caps, checks, and balances that help to prevent maybe the same few people getting a lot of high-profile awards. And again, we don't want to restrict or even suggest restricting like an artist's access to opportunities, but we want to think about how might we create systems that like maybe there's a gap year if you've received 3 to 5 awards already in 1 year. Maybe if you were awarded in 2026, you have to wait till 2028. Maybe there's a cap on the number of awards per year per lead artist, so encouraging people to apply as teams. And also maybe creating a policy that after a certain number of projects as a lead artist, an artist must apply as a support artist team with another emerging artist. So we're like trying to maybe bake in a mentorship model into our local art awards. And then also we want to encourage the proliferation of more practice walls. We've been calling them free walls, or a free wall is what we've been talking about a lot on this committee. But in the notes that were sent out, if you're curious, there's all these examples of free walls in other cities. And we're talking about changing that verbiage to practice walls, because we see these walls as an opportunity to lend emerging artists and folks that may think like, oh, I do art, but I could never paint a mural, to be like, well, go try it. And then you can take pictures and put it in your portfolio and become a more competitive applicant for these opportunities. So those are all the things that we're thinking of proposing. We wanted to open it up here, very short amount of time, because we have so much to get through in this meeting, and I've already spent a lot of the time allotted talking us through this, but seeing if there are any other additional ideas to add for the, again, this is the proposal for the public art plan for this next year, but more importantly, of the ideas that we've presented, are there any parts that people feel enthusiasm around? Like, is there a subject that you're like, actually, I would love to take on writing a paragraph, 3 to 5 bullet points around this proposal, so that I can bring it to the next education subcommittee meeting in August, and we'll already have the proposals, like the outline of the proposals fleshed out, so that can be a truly working meeting. I've been talking at you for a long time. That's the nutshell and purpose of this item, questions, thoughts, responses.
I have a question. I'm just wondering, do we have any data insofar as, like, what is the repeat of certain artists and who in particular? I mean, how many is too many? I suppose is my question. And is it an issue of regulation in that way, or is it about having more sessions so that more people understand the application process? Because it seems to me like the more people apply, the more people might have a chance of being selected. So it's, you know, I just think it's really important that we frame things in a way that is supportive of the work that has been done in order to make public art accessible to as many artists as possible. So I'm just wondering, like, how we strike a balance in that.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question, Leanne. It's something that did come up for discussion in the subcommittee meeting, and I didn't quite capture in these notes that I was trying to do from memory after the meeting. So thank you for bringing it up. And I think that is, like, why we were also talking about the video series and maybe some more education that PACD members could support in, like, getting the word out about, you know, if we have tools to get that word out about, like, what is public art and how do you get involved, and emphasizing that first. I think those questions, like, one, would love to hear from Arts Foundation staff on the call, if we are able to get kind of like, hey, can we look at the last few years and see, like, who's received the most awards or what that kind of repetition of award receipt looks like to verify some of these impressions and assumptions that are being made going in. And that might be work to be done at the working meeting, at the subcommittee meeting as well. But
do you,
is that
do you want to apply from the Arts Foundation now or later?
We can hear what you got now and then work on it more later.
Well, yeah, we're happy to pull that list together. I'm sure it'll look different than what everyone might be thinking, especially if one particular muralist in mind. It's not going to have as many as you think. But yeah, I think that's doable because we have it all tracked on our table. So it's something we can share at this next meeting or the education subcommittee meeting.
Great. Thank you. Leanne, any other thoughts on that? We'll definitely bring that to the subcommittee meeting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I mean, I wonder about capacity. I wonder about, not in the staff level, but at the artistic level, you know, of individual artists, and, you know, having capacity to develop the proposals and then accomplish the work. So, yeah, I mean, I have lots of curiosity. I mean, I think that when we first discussed, you know, starting the education committee, it was about ensuring that we have, you know, a greater proliferation of the opportunities available for artists. This has been a problem or an issue or whatever, a concern, since I first started working at TPAC 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. This is not a new conversation. And it's always been about how do we get information to more people so that more people can, you know, participate. And so I don't think, I think the way that it gets framed a lot in by certain members of the public that participate in these conversations is like it's a gatekeeping situation. And I don't think, and it has never been my observation, that that's actually what happens. And so I think that we need to be really careful about how we frame things and how we support what's being said about the function of this committee and the work that we do, because, you know, we also work extensively, right? The staff works really hard with neighbors and committees and neighborhoods and people who are concerned about walls in their communities. And so there's a lot of things that are happening. And so I just don't want, I don't want to get it twisted about what's happening and by whom. So anyway, that's what I got.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Great. Logan and then Wilwin.
Cool. Yeah, I just wanted to add to some of that conversation. I was part of the most recent subcommittee meeting about this. So one of the things that just kept coming up is, I think as Liam was just mentioning, it's an ongoing process of clarity. Like, I don't think that job will ever be done of like trying to inform people, because, you know, there are people who are currently not interested in the arts, so they'll never learn about it. And then there are people who become interested in the arts and they didn't know about it previously. And then things change for people who have been paying attention this whole time. They also need that clarity. So I think it is an ongoing thing. And I do appreciate, yeah, if we have some data to share and if we have some information about that, and then we can work towards even just the clarity of us on this committee or folks on other arts panels, to make sure that there is like places we can really easily reference. And I think that was part of this broader conversation. And then one more thing, just to the point of what specifically people might be interested in working on. I personally would love to come up with a variety of ideas and proposals and writing stuff out around the idea of not just diversification of artists, but diversification of content and ideas, again, without restricting, but also with kind of the clarity of encouragement of, you know, different ideas and different people doing those ideas. So I'd be happy to work either independently or with other people on that and then bring them back to the committees.
Awesome. I put that down as what you would like to sign up for, Logan. I really appreciate that. And I do just want to note that we're pretty much at time for this item. So Wilwyn's still going to call on you, and also just asking if there's anybody else that wants to take on any of the other proposal pieces so that we can, again, it doesn't have to be fully fleshed out. That's going to be for the working meeting, but just bringing it, just contributing a bit more to each point, and some ideas that we can bring to the working meeting is what we're asking for. So, Wilwyn? Oh, you're on mute.
Thanks. I would have gone for a while doing that. I don't want to bring this up before because I wanted to wait until the board approves this particular line item that I plan for fiscal year 2027, which is to do a mini version of the Public Art Core program that I've talked about for the past few years. We've been slowly trying to develop, and it's just, we keep going to certain places. Any funding came, you know, disappeared, so we had to rethink it. So I'm trying to bring it back in a small way, and I think now is a great time to bring some of you on board if you're interested, because a lot of the things that you wrote in this or you chatted about in this subcommittee meeting are things that we have thought about or addressed. And that's basically like how public art works. It can be, you know, broader, smaller, but essentially social media campaign tech, things that hand out. And what I'm trying to develop for spring next year is a workshop. So I allocated funds to bring on like artists that want to speak, who will pay. It'll be free to the public. Anyone can attend. And it'll cover the curriculum that we've developed that, I don't know if anyone here is part of that survey. No, I don't think so. That is basically modules. Each module is like, one's like how to do insurance, how to apply for public art. What are the sort of things that you, instead of just reiterating your CV, like demonstrating your connection to the community, that you did some research about the site, why you care about it. Those are the things that usually the folks that get selected are doing. So, I just wanted to bring that up because maybe we can fit it into this larger thing that this subcommittee is doing, involving you in that process, which I think would be super cool.
Yeah, I think especially before the subcommittee puts more effort into trying to promote or advocate for that idea, getting some clarity around what's going to be covered and how we could participate and what's going to be done with that would be great. And so I don't know the best way to do that, Wilwyn, before or after before you go on vacation, after you get back, if we're going to have a subcommittee meeting to work on things, hopefully before the next PACD meeting. I don't know. I want to put it out there. Maybe you and I can email off outside of the meeting or something to try to figure out when we can do that. Okay, Leanne, and then Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Hi,
Yeah, just really quickly, I think also for consideration, Wilwyn and staff and everybody, I think the individual in-person sessions are really important, but also having that available as an archive on the website that can be referred to in the future is really important. We see that with committee chair people, positions on, you know, for neighborhood folk. And I think the more that we make things just readily available that can just be like, hey, you're interested, here's a QR code or whatever, you know, that the information sessions are really important, and they're great and they're important. And also having it be available as an archive on the website and accessible that way is important as well.
I totally agree. We plan to do that. We just don't have that data sorted at this point. It's in like a long form. So we'll be working with G and hopefully a consultant to make that into very user-friendly bites.
Great. That's awesome. Okay, we are over the time for this item, and I promised Arts Foundation staff that we would not go over the time for this item. So just want to prioritize if there's anybody else that would like to volunteer to work on any of these proposal pieces to bring to the working meeting in August for the education subcommittee. I'll take on the practice walls. That's what I can volunteer to do. And again, just for a refresher, so Logan is going to work on the piece that introduces some sort of communication around diversity of ideas and representation. I'll do those walls. The video, we're gonna time out on that until we wait to hear more from Wilwyn. So the only thing left is a proposal that we be included in the conversations happening between the city, the county, Arts Foundation. Okay, looks like we will work on that together as an education subcommittee from what we've got right now. I just want to also say, Kelly, I know that we're kind of put some proposals out here that are like directly to the city. So if you want to connect on any of those, feel free to reach out to myself, to Leanne, or to any member of the education subcommittee. And yeah, if anybody gets a wild hair that they want to volunteer for that one after this meeting, let us know. We're going to try and shoot for an early August subcommittee meeting. So look out for those planning emails from Sadie too. Okay, great. Sorry, Arts Foundation staff, we are over that allotted time, but not by a ton. We can move on to the review and approval, item 6, review and approval of the June 10th, 2026 meeting minutes.
Move to approve meeting minutes.
Thanks, Anne.
I'll second.
Thanks, Lizzie. Okay, can we get a roll call?
Adia Jamil. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez. Anne Lopez.
Approve.
Audrey Wehner.
Approve.
Brandon Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Approve.
Dusty Reyes.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez.
Approve.
Lily Tate.
Approve.
Jim Glock. Janet Fisher. Lizzie Golden.
Approved.
Logan Green.
Approved.
Maureen Lewick.
Approved.
Nancy Fung. Valerie Sipp.
Approve.
Wesley Cree. Wesley.
Sorry, approve.
Thank you. And we have unanimous approval.
Thank you. Okay, then we can move on. We are going to be learning and hearing from Ariel for a bit for these next two items. Item number 7 is the review of the artist selection process for 22nd Street Camino Seco to Houghton.
Thanks, Adrian. And hi, everyone. Great to see you all.
I'm going to share my screen. Let's see, send request for sharing. Great, thank you, Sadie. Okay. Hopefully this goes well because I'm getting over a cold, so talking for long periods of time might not go well, but we'll see. Okay, so I am sharing with you all the artist selection process overview for 22nd Street Camino Seco to Houghton. This is a road project that will turn 22nd Street into a four-lane road with lots of improvements, including pedestrian facilities, bike lanes, landscaping, and public art. This is funded by RTA, and the public art budget is $315,000, and it is in Ward 2 and Ward 4. So the public art will specifically be located at the intersections of Old Spanish Trail and 22nd. So I think this one's Ward 4 and this one's Ward 2, or maybe the opposite. And there will be 8 by 8 foot concrete pads that the city will be installing in preparation for the sculptures. So this is our public art panel for the project. We have 8 panelists. They reviewed 109 applicants, and they did that during May 4th to May 31st. Then they selected 3 finalists June 1st and interviewed them June 15th. The panel selected Joe O'Connell of Creative Machines. They're based in Tucson and have extensive experience in transportation and civic environments, from fast-moving vehicular views to slower pedestrian encounters. And the panel chose Joe O'Connell's team because of how they spoke about the process of creating public art from start to finish, how they spoke about managing the project, ideas for community engagement, and their knowledge of the area, and how they answered all of the questions directly and promptly. So that is the presentation for this project. Does anyone have any questions about the process or comments?
I guess I'm just a little curious if there was anything that sticks out to you, Ariel, or anyone else that was on the panel about how they spoke about managing the project or their ideas for community engagement. Like, what was it that set them apart in that way to the panel?
Well, so the Joe O'Connell's team talked about, there were 4 of them on their team in the interview, and they talked about two of them talked about how they live nearby the area and their relationship to that intersection, and then also the possibility of bringing people into their studio to engage in the design process. So I'm not sure what it will end up looking like, but I think they're really interested in involving the wider community in the design process.
Hey, thanks. Does anybody else have any questions? Doesn't sound like it. Ariel, thank you so much mid-presentation before your next item for being here to share with us when you're getting over a cold. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the next item is, oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is an action item, isn't it? Yeah. We need to approve this selection process or vote on it.
Move to approve the selection process for the East 22nd Street Road Improvements.
Coming in hot, Ann Lopez, with that motion. Thank you. Anybody like to second?
I second, Dusty.
Thanks, Dusty. All right, Sadie, when you're ready, you can do a vote.
Okay. Adia Jamil. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez. Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Audrey Wehner.
Approve.
Brandon Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Approve.
Dusty Reyes.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez.
Approve, thank you.
Lily Tate.
Approve.
Thank you. Jim Glock. Janet Fisher. Lizzie Golden.
Approved.
Logan Green.
Approve.
Maureen Lewick.
Approve.
Nancy Fung. Valerie Sipp.
Approve.
Wesley Cree.
Approve.
Thank you, and motion carries.
Great, thanks. Okay, now we're moving on to item 8, review of the artist selection process for Thrive in the 05 affordable housing projects. Back to Ariel.
Thank you. Okay, so this is a package of 4 projects. We put out the RFQs all at once last November. So we just completed the last artist selection, and I'll share with you all of them. Let me know if you guys have any questions in between or after. So the Sugar Hill on Stone Murals and Digital Designs, this is a new affordable housing project that's going up in Sugar Hill neighborhood on Stone Avenue. It'll be 66 affordable housing units. With all of these projects, we're partnering with City of Tucson Housing Community Development and their nonprofit arm El Pueblo Housing Development. And funding sources include LIHTC housing credits and federal and local grants. This particular project is $114,960 for the public art budget, and it includes 3 exterior murals and 6 digital interior vinyl artwork designs. The panel is composed of these 8 individuals, and we had 169 applicants for this project. The panel reviewed them online from January 9th to January 20th, and then selected the finalists on January 21st and interviewed them February 5th. They selected Rachel Wolf Goldsmith, who is a muralist, curator, and creative director based in Oakland. And a lot of her work focuses on exploring identity, history, and collective experience. The panel chose her because of her approach to research and community engagement in her work, her interest in bringing local artists and local people into the project through mural painting and storytelling. And she also shared examples of interior artwork and the importance of how these pieces play a role, an important role for the residents, other than just the exterior work. Sorry about the dog barking. So that's Sugar Hill on Stone, and I'm happy to jump over to the next project, and then maybe you all can ask questions at the end, unless you have burning questions now. Okay, I'm going to continue. So Tucson House is the next project, which is focused on an interior art curation project. The Tucson House is a historic affordable housing unit for residents age 55 and older. There's going to be 358 units that are renovated, and the project budget for this is $58,000. So This includes 82 framed artworks and 5 unique wall graphics. And then we have 7 panelists for this project who reviewed 45 applicants in February 20th to March 5th and selected the finalists March 6th and interviewed them April 3rd. They selected Isaac Caruso, who's a designer, artist, and curator. I think he's based in Phoenix and Flagstaff now, but used to be a Tucson resident. The panel chose Isaac because of his arts administrative background, his knowledge of the Tucson area, and how he might incorporate local artworks and artists into the design. Okay. Moving on to Amazon Flats, unless anyone has any questions about Tucson Health. Okay, so
Ariel, Amazon. Just for clarity, sorry. For the last one, so he's not actually producing the art per se. He's curating, but pieces for the walls inside of this property.
Thanks, Leanne. So it's kind of a mix. We have the artwork has a specific theme that was selected by residents of Tucson House that includes desert landscapes, historic photos of Tucson and the Sky Island region. So there is the option to create prints mm-hmm. of original yep. work.
Hi, Maureen, sorry, can you go on mute? Thanks.
Thanks. So the idea is not to create any original artwork in the case of it being stolen, but to create prints that could be reproduced. Isaac and the panel are interested in creating kind of a mix of like historic photos, desert landscapes, but also some original artwork that's printed within it.
Thanks, and sorry to make you talk extra.
No worries. Thank you. Okay, so Amazon Flats is the third affordable housing unit on Miracle Mile. It is a 59-unit new construction, and the public art budget for the murals and mosaics component is $122,935. And these mural locations will be on the west wall and the east wall, kind of wrapping around the south. And then the mosaics will be in the resident yard and the plaza that residents will use outside. This is the 9-person panel. They reviewed 191 applicants, and that was done in April. From April 15th to May 7th, they selected 3 finalists May 8th, and then they interviewed them on May 15th. They selected Jessica Gonzalez and Alex Jimenez as an artist team. Jessica Gonzalez is the muralist, and Alex Jimenez works in mosaics. And they chose Jessica and Alex because of how they spoke about working together, their ideas of community engagement, the examples they've had in the past with community engagement, and their presentation was very cohesive. So jumping over to the second component of this Amazon Flats is an interior ceiling sculpture with a budget of $45,000. And this will be a suspended ceiling sculpture that has the opportunity to use the skylight to reflect light and greet residents when they come in and out of the building. this is the 9-person panel for the project. And they reviewed 69 applications from May 15th to June 11th and selected four finalists June 12th and interviewed them all on June 26th. And they selected George Peters and Melanie Walker of Airworks Studio. They're based in Colorado, but they also do have a studio in Tucson that they use in the winter months. And they selected George and Melanie because of the variety and durability of the materials in their artwork, how they spoke about community input and engagement, and how they spoke about creating something kinetic, dynamic, and unique that interacts with the space and light. So that concludes all four project artist selection processes. Does anyone have any questions about any of them?
Questions or comments? Any feedback from anyone who was on any of the panels about your experience? Jacqueline Jean Barrios. I love saying your full name. Sorry.
Yes, quite hefty. But I just had a question about, and thanks for the overview, about is this a significant package of funding for affordable housing art just in general? I just kind of wanted to know the scope of like this particular range of artworks, like how to understand it in the kind of scope of public art that's been going out. Proposal and going out, if that makes any sense.
You mean in, like compared to other affordable housing projects?
I mean, I guess I'm just
or
noticing,
just public art projects in general.
Public art, I guess I'm noticing since, you know, it looks like they're all sort of in this category of coming out in affordable housing spaces. I just kind of wanted to know just some context about has there just been significant investment in affordable housing and public art lately, and that's why we're seeing this as opposed to sort of like more parks and like road type
yeah.
things that I've seen us kind of look at, and maybe I'm
right. I'll jump in. I think Gia and Wilwyn might too, but I know that like historically, like the city of Tucson hadn't received affordable housing credits for a long time. There was a long pause for that, and they have received several projects more recently. And luckily, the city has budgeted for public art with that as well. So.
Yeah, and I would like to jump in with a specific number. And if I'm able to share screens, I just want to share our press release that went out because it is a significant investment. It's over $300,000. And there was several media hits too surrounding this large investment where people were sharing that. Well, one, that they're really happy that the city is investing in like renovating their public housing, also like seeking their input into like how what art reflects their space and their community, and the kind of unique partnership that came around this particular set of projects. So I'd be happy to share that with you, Adrian, to distribute if that's just for reference,
yeah.
if you guys would like.
That's great. Thanks. I think we all would love to see that. Yeah, thank you. I think maybe send it to Sadie because Sadie takes care of all the communication that goes out to all of us so we don't violate open meeting laws and because she's awesome.
Can I add one little tidbit? This is new. I think you might all notice. This is a whole new thing. It's not bond funded. It's not like our usual CIP projects because they're not part of capital campaigns. El Pueblo Housing Development, which is the nonprofit arm of HCD, reached out to us because they wanted to represent their the residents with artwork, which is new. So we're really happy to be a part of it, and we arrange the processes the same way we would for other projects. But we're paying the panelists. This one different thing. The great news is that we're hoping that this will continue and it won't just stop at these three locations.
Great. Thank you for the context. It's exciting.
Yeah, great question. Any other questions, comments, folks who were on the panels that want to weigh in?
I think Janet Fisher was the only PACTC member who was on the panel. But
I saw Dusty's name.
I saw Brandon.
Oh, yeah, Dusty, too.
And Brandon.
Oh, and thank you.
There's a few of us.
I think it all looks really great. All of the proposals were beautiful, and I'm excited to see them come to fruition. Thanks for sharing that, Ariel.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Yeah, thanks, Lizzie. Agreed. Okay, well, with that, I'll entertain a motion regarding this package of artist selection processes.
I'll move to approve the three packages.
Movement by Leanne, thank you. And
second.
And everyone today, gold star. All right, and seconds. Sadie, when you're ready, we'll do a vote.
Okay, and then Leanne, you said you'll move to approve the full package?
All three of them, yeah.
Is there four, Ariel?
Oh, are there four? Sorry, yeah. Four.
Yeah, or four artist selection processes, yeah.
Okay. So motion by Leanne. Who seconded it?
Ann Lopez.
Okay. Motion by Leanne, second by Ann. Thank you. Adia Jamil. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez. Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Audrey Wehner.
Approve.
Brandon Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios. Dusty Reyes.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez.
Approve.
Lily Tate.
Approve.
Jim Glock. Janet Fisher. Lizzie Golden.
Approved.
Logan Green.
Approve.
Maureen Lewick.
Approve.
Nancy Fung. Valerie Sip.
Approve.
Wesley Cree.
Approve. Wesley?
Okay, thank you. And we have a unanimous approval.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ariel. Thank you, Sadie. Ariel, I hope you can go get some rest now. Okay, just a few more items on the docket. Hopefully we can get out of here before 5. We have next up number 9, the Public Art Director's Report. Wilwin?
Thanks. I'll make it quick, and I'm happy to leave this item down at the bottom of every agenda if we want to. I'm reading this, and I realize I left out a couple of things because they were just approved when I wrote this a while ago. But one, roster's closed, got 140 submissions, so thanks all of you all for making a big push, because I remember when we started this, we had 9, and we're coming close to closure. Two new projects are going to utilize this right away, Jacobs Park, Jesse Owens Park, so you can click on that panel interest form to join that. Two things I want to mention that aren't on here. One was securing funding for this little public art core workshop and seed for hopefully that'll turn something better, but also securing funding to pay all of our eligible community member panelists for all of the public art projects we do for fiscal year 2027. So tell your people that aren't on this committee because you're not eligible to get paid because you did the oath. So thank you for your service. But if you, if that would be an incentive for some folks that you know that might want to be on those future panels, they will be compensated. And that's it.
Lilwyn, do you have information to that effect that we could send out to folks?
No, but every new panel or RFQ we put out, it'll mention that. And I don't know, Gia, maybe we should put a little humble brag out there.
We do promote on social. It's also on the website under each RFQ.
Oh, yeah, I just, the community member compensation piece, I don't know if that's something like we did the push for the roster, we could also do a concerted push for those opportunities.
Yeah, and also just to tell them, like, hey, we'll get paid this time. Well, we've been paying the ones that weren't, City of Tucson Public Art Program, but we will be now. That's a good idea, thanks.
Yeah. Glad to hear we got so many applicants for the roster. That's awesome. Great work, everyone. Going to echo that. And curious to see how many of those came from Southern Arizona versus like when we opened it up. It would be cool to get that information just so we know for future purposes when we are looking at like the area again or like understanding what went well, what was a barrier. And I'm sorry if I missed this, but is one of those opportunities to be a part of the community panel that's going to review the roster itself? The roster applications?
That panel's already assembled. And I think they're working right now, or they will be soon. They had to split it up into groups because not everyone and it like has to go through 140. I think it's like 67 per.
Okay, I know we had members from this committee volunteer, but I didn't know we already got the other community members. That's awesome. So what's the timeline? Like, when will the roster be?
I'll have to double check with you, but we extended it past the break to give people time.
Yeah. So August 2nd, and then we'll have a final review August 10th.
Cool, thanks. Awesome. Well, that's exciting. Great. Okay. Okay. Any other questions, thoughts, comments for Wilwyn? Nope. Okay. Moving on then. Oh, sorry, was that somebody coming on? Okay, sorry, thought I heard something. Item number 10, the update from the Arts Foundation's communication team.
Hi again. Let me share my screen. So we have just closed out our fiscal year at the end of June. So our next newsletter, which is coming out next week, the month of July is kind of recapping this past month, which we were very busy. So Adriana and Sadie both attended one of our national field convenings, AFTICON in Santa Fe. Adriana and Sadie presented on Saludarte. We also engaged in a workshop with one of our other field members for the Grant Makers in the Arts. And I'm happy to share that one of these larger projects has finally come to fruition. This is a Miracle Mile mosaic artwork. This is UU on site, but it was completed towards the end of June, and it actually got some media attention. This was originally created by Gary Mackinder and refurbished by Paloma Jacqueline, and I think it just looks so beautiful and impactful. So please check it out if you're on I-10. I also want to share some other good news. It's not related to public art, but to the Arts Foundation. And as you know, many people applied to our various opportunities. And we just awarded $320,000 I've been working on a grant all day, so my brain's a little fried. To over 23 organizations, and many of those you might recognize here, and some of our new grantees include the Border Chronicle, the Land with No Name Sanctuary. So it's just another way to uplift the good work that's happening in the region and in Tucson specifically. Moving on, we're invited to tour the El Pueblo and El Rio Neighborhood Center with Ward 5 and Ward 1 and with the mayor, and just to see some of these historical legacy mosaic murals like Davidson Nails. And it was a lovely tour that we had. And speaking to this earlier question about, does the board convene? It does. They convene quarterly, and we convene for our end of the year, fiscal year board meeting, where I'm happy to say that there are new board members. One of them was a former PACD member, Melissa Brown Dominguez, who had to resign and is now part of our board. She resigned for her own volition. And we have a new president, Stephanie Rosenberg. Marco Ismael, who was our past president, stepped down, and he's continuing to serve on the board. So some good things, and we're hoping to spotlight our board members as well to kind of dispel some misunderstandings about decision-making and how decision-making happens in the Arts Foundation and how people actually serve in these roles, because they do really important work, like you all do really important work. The grants and programs team met for a retreat, just getting prepared for the next fiscal year. And then lastly, one of our staff members was invited to moderate a panel for one of our START grantees, Lara Ruggles, and to premiere her music video at the Catalyst Studios in the Tucson Mall. We did a site visit for the Southside Safety Complex, Public Safety Complex, which I think had the ribbon cutting today, if I'm not mistaken. And then we were also invited to help host this listening tour by ADOT. And I want to just point to what they're doing. They're doing a statewide listening tour, and they just want to hear from constituents all over the state about what transportation means to certain communities and how it can be improved. And this session in particular invited cultural leaders and artists, and how artists think about ADOT, their relationship to ADOT, because there is a longstanding relationship with public art and ADOT, it seems. I didn't know this. And also, yeah, how artists can bring their own ways of thinking and problem solving to some of these larger issues around transportation, including desert heat load, wildlife, sustainability, equity, and access. So if you're interested in learning more, I will also share these links with Sadie. But there's a survey that you can fill out, and you can share your own thoughts as well about how to improve transportation throughout the state, and specifically here in Tucson. So thank you all. And
thank you, Gia. Any questions for you, Gia?
Can I have a comment?
Yes.
Sorry, everybody. But at that meeting, the great thing that came out, Corky Poster was there, you may know him, local architect, and he mentioned how ADOT, before they start doing their work, they buy out land around the property or adjacent to the roads. And then when they're done, they don't really have a plan for them. One of the spots that is a hot spot is Steinfeld Warehouse and the Citizens Warehouse, who are just sort of, Steinfeld is fine, but Citizens is sort of in limbo. The road's done. We've all driven past it now. And it's a big question mark because there's no real plan. So that's something that was brought up at this meeting that if you support WAMO and that group, like, let's get their building back to them. That's it. Sorry.
Thank you. No, appreciate all the insight. Gia, that was a really thorough presentation. I really appreciate it. It's really nice to see all the things that y'all are up to.
And congrats on, it looks like from your notes that 320,000 that y'all awarded was 26% or so went to first time Arts Foundation recipients, almost a third. That's huge.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important to underscore, continue like underscoring that we, the panels are privileging like new artists that haven't been granted before.
That's great. Audrey.
Yeah, I just wanted to, after Wilwyn's note about the opportunity to kind of help support the Steinfeld, I'm somebody who really loves that organization and really excited that the construction is finally done. So if there's anything that we can do as members of this committee or just members of the public to kind of help support them, keep access to that space. If there's any info you can kind of disseminate about like what action we can take, that would be awesome.
I have a little tidbit that we also learned from the ADOT people. So that, don't forget, she's like the main advisor to the top ADOT person. I don't remember the name. I don't sound very professional right now. But she did note that ADOT doesn't make these decisions, because I was asking about how public art is decided and placed, because ADOT manages these highways. So they use regional organizations for us in our in Tucson. It's the Pima Association of Governments. So PAG is the organization that you should be looking at and talking to if you want to move any of these initiatives about public art on Arizona State property.
Great. Great question, Audrey. Thank you, Owen, for the tidbits. Anything else on the communications team report? Any questions? Okay, well then, last item on our agenda is a request for any additions for future agendas. If you want an agenda item about how to support Steinfeld, if you want an agenda item to learn more about conference presentations, if you want anything you'd like for a future agenda.
I think it worked really well to have the subcommittee working session report back at the beginning. So if we could retain that, that'd be great.
Great. Thanks, Leanne. Anything else? No? Okay. Well, don't forget, you have an opportunity to beat the heat in Prescott in August. You also have an opportunity to sponsor Groundworks and to get your network to sponsor them, and an opportunity to help out the Citizens Warehouse and contact PAG. And I hope you have a great month until we see you again. And Arts Foundation staff, please have a great vacation. You deserve it. And hope you have lots of fun and safety and fulfillment. With that, it is 4:47 and this meeting is adjourned.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.